Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
Hello and welcome to the DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are going to be reviewing the entirety of Season 2 of Supergirl as a whole. So I guess we will dive right in. Are we going to be spoiling this, Zach?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some spoilers.
Okay, so we will be spoilering. You are spoiler warned. Overall, season two, what did you think, Zach?
So this is the first season of Supergirl that I have watched completely. I've seen a couple episodes from the first season, but this is the first one that I watched all the way through and live while it was happening. And I gotta say, I really liked the beginning. It started out really strong. There's maybe some, got maybe a little slow or a little muddied in the middle, but then I do really like the way that they kind of wrapped up the season. I think they did a pretty good job. But so overall, I quite enjoyed the show, and it's definitely my second favorite CWDC superhero TV show, right behind Flash.
And for me, I thought the quality was on like a steady incline in season one, got better as it went. I think season two started pretty high and then kind of slowly dripped down a little bit. Not that it was bad. I still love the show. I look forward to watching it every time. But from a critical eye, if I'm, you know, reviewing this and nitpicking it, I thought they made some changes going from CBS to the CW. I think most people didn't have a problem with that. I felt like I noticed it, and not necessarily impacting the quality or in terms of the look or anything, but you know, there are certain things I noticed that changed about the show from going from CBS to CW that did hurt it. I didn't think there was no drop-off or anything like that. I think the vast majority of fights, and this is just sort of anecdotal, I didn't go back and take notes or do a study on each episode, but the vast majority of episodes in season one focused out on the sunlight, daylight, everything was sunny. Season two, they obviously changed filming locations. Vancouver isn't quite as sunny as LA, but it seemed like very few fights took place during the daylight. The vast majority took place at night. And I think, you know, that's usually a sign because it's cheaper to do it that way. And also with the filming location, I think that's noticeable. That's not necessarily anything that detracted from my viewing of it, but it's definitely something I noticed. I also think in terms of acting, I thought all the actors were good. I don't have any complaints about any single one, but I thought Peter Facinelli and as Maxwell Lord and Calista Flockhart as Cat Grant were two of the higher end, like very, you know, they're almost too qualified for the CW, and they were very good on the CBS. And sort of on the fringe there, you lose actors like that. Calista Flockhart, obviously, because she didn't want to work full-time in Vancouver. But also, you know, I feel like they lose people like Peter Facinelli, who's a really good actor. And, you know, maybe you just, you trim the budget by, I don't know, 10%, 20%. You kind of, the bulk of it's the same, but you sort of lose out on the fringes there. So rather than having a higher-end actor like Peter Facinelli to have a normal season-long arc, you'd lose that. But having said that, they also brought in some fantastic guests this year, like Terry Hatcher. So you could say I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but that's just kind of how I feel. I felt like I noticed it a little bit on the fringes there, but it didn't detract from my enjoyment at all.
Yeah. And something kind of going along with that is there were a whole lot of characters in this season. I think almost too many characters. I think a lot of times there were some characters that they maybe didn't know what to do with or maybe didn't have enough time to actually flesh out. And for me, especially, I've talked about this before, but I really didn't, the Miss Martian storyline really didn't do much for me. And so she was just kind of seemed like an extra character. And then they did get rid of her for a while, but she comes back at the end of the season. But it just seemed like a lot of times they were juggling a lot of different storylines, different characters at the same time. And it took them a while to figure out which ones they really wanted to go with. And I was most interested in the Cadmus storyline, but then that ended up kind of getting pushed to the side for the Daxamite storyline, which was still pretty interesting. But it just seemed a little weird because they still involved Lillian Luthor, the head of Cadmus, at the end without really talking about touching on all of the setup they had done for Cadmus, because they really set that up in like episode two and then do some things in the middle of the season, but they never really wrapped it up at all.
Yeah, and I think they did a really good job establishing Kara as Supergirl in season one. And so, you know, that's kind of the struggle there. She's Supergirl. What do you do with her? What do you do with your arc? And I think, you know, what they've done, you know, the Flash has done this, Supergirl has done this, is they just introduce more heroes so they can get their arc. And that's fine in small doses. But like you said, they just shoved in a ton of new characters all at once at the start of the season. You know, we lose Cat Grant, but here's just a list of characters who are introduced very early. Superman, Miss Martian, Mon-El, Lena Luthor, Lillian Luthor, Maggie Sawyer, and Snapper Carr. Those are all involved in the entire season, and they're new characters who are introduced very early in the season to go in addition to Kara, Alex, Wynn, James,
Martian,
John Jones.
Yep.
All of them are there. And so, like you said, I think that was... this season felt unfocused to me. I had no idea what we were building towards until like the third to last episode, the second to last episode, third to, you know, there was, like you said, they introduced this Cadmus arc and that seemed to be what they were building towards. And then they just sort of dropped it. And, you know, Rhea was the quote unquote big bad of the season. And she was only introduced in the last quarter or last third of the season. And kind of came out of nowhere and seemed like what they were building toward. So it seems like they just introduced a bunch of new characters and like, okay, let's see what sticks. And they didn't know where they were going with it and all that. Having said that, I did really enjoy a lot of the new characters, most of them.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think something that really stands out for me out of all of these new characters is Lena Luthor. I really do like what they've done with her, especially towards the back half of the season when... They kind of just like forced it in like, oh, we're friends, Kara and Lena. But then they really did start showing them being friends and kind of the strain and stress of being a Luthor and being a friend with Kara / Supergirl. And I'm really intrigued by her character. I think there's more than meets the eye with her. We've seen some flashbacks of her being really smart and cunning. And I think they've set up a very good relationship, kind of like Clark and Lex in Smallville, but with a kind of cool, different twist, different flavor to it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I'm really excited to see what they do with Lena going forward. And they definitely, yeah, at first it was forced, but they really started to establish the friendship and showed it on screen, which I really enjoyed. And I'm very curious. I like what we've seen from Katie McGrath so far. And I definitely like to see more of that. You know, we were introduced to Superman this year, small doses, bookending the season. He is, what did you think of Tyler Hoechlin's portrayal, I guess?
I really did like the way they used him early in the season, but then when they brought him back at the end in the finale, wasn't a big fan of the way that they used him. So I think that is maybe tainting it just because, you know, the effect of recency, just because that's the part of him I've seen most recently. But if I can try to move that out of my mind, I really did like his portrayal in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job of not having him overshadow Kara.
Right.
But at the end of the season, that return, they sort of pushed it too far the other way to where it seemed like he was, you know, the greatest superhero of all time. He seemed almost kind of useless in the finale. Which is kind of strange. I know you want it to be Supergirl's show, which I want her to be the hero. I want her to save the day. But I don't want to bring down Superman to try to prop up Supergirl. I'd like them to establish them both as great and see her greatness rather than sort of, it almost felt like they were trying to show Superman's limitations and try to force Supergirl to be better. See, you know, Supergirl wouldn't do that, or Supergirl's better because she can do this and that. And I thought that seemed pretty forced at the end there.
Yeah, definitely. So I think they could have handled that better.
And you talked a little bit about Miss Martian. I thought I was higher on that story than you were. Again, I think that suffered a little bit from the unfocusedness where we'd see a couple episodes of her and then she'd be dropped for three and then come back and have this important role, and even though she'd been gone for a long time. But I like the character, I like the actress, and I'd like to see more of that and maybe get more of a steady, more of a consistent story arc to explore that more. And I'm a fan of the character. She's recent in the comics, but I've liked what I've seen from her in Young Justice, so I'm hoping she's around more. And, yeah. And an important character for Jean.
Yeah, and I think that will be what makes me like the character more, is I really like the character of Jean, and we don't really get to see a lot of him because there's just so much going on. And so if they trim down the storylines and characters and Miss Martian is more involved next season, then I think we'll get to see more of him as well.
Yeah, and he's a tricky thing too, because he's so powerful. He's in every episode, and you don't want to make it the Martian Manhunter show. So you've got to sort of nerf him a little bit at times and write him out of it, which can be frustrating. Sometimes they do a good job with it. Sometimes they don't. But again, with introducing Miss Martian more, that's something they'd have to worry about as well. One of the bigger, you know, maybe the biggest role out of all these new characters was Mon-El. What did you think about Mon-El this year?
Yeah, he was kind of hit or miss. I really liked the idea of Adaximite, and specifically the idea of Mon-El. And, you know, he was the prince, but for a while we don't really know that. And he's trying to become a hero. And it just seems like they set up a lot of stuff for him and then never really gave him the time to flesh it out. And towards the last part of the season, we don't really know like what he's doing. He's kind of just walking around eating ice cream cones all the time.
Yeah,
and not really doing anything. And again, it's I feel like we're maybe a broken record, but like it's just introducing so many heroes. You can't give any one of those heroes a big arc while also trying to focus on the hero that this show is named after. And so he was good as a romantic interest for Supergirl, but I wish they would have done more with his character and less with some of the other characters.
Yeah, and I think you're different from most people there. A lot of people would have liked to see more Mon-El, but I really enjoyed Chris Wood and his portrayal of Mon-El. But like you said, you know, the earlier focus was on him becoming a superhero, you know, in his development there. And they still talked about it, kind of like what we said about Lena and Kara being friends the first half of the season. Like, they said they were, but they never really showed that. They never really showed Mon-El trying to become a superhero in the last half of the season, other than very rare instances. So he's gone now, but if we see him in the future, I hope that we see him stepping up, taking that mantle. I want to do this. I want to help people rather than just eating ice cream cones.
Yeah.
He's also a funny character and had a lot of fun interactions. And the relationship with Kara and Mon-El, well, really the middle of the season there was very relationship heavy. And I thought they did a good job moving away from that. And the Kara and Mon-El, I think it was pretty controversial for a lot of people, but I guess I could see it. Well, you know, sometimes romance doesn't make sense anyway, so you don't necessarily have to see it anyway. But I thought they handled it well. And then speaking of relationships, one of the big ones was Alex and Maggie and Alex's personal story this year.
Yeah, and I think they handled that very well. And I did end up rooting for liking that relationship more than Kara and Mon-El's. And they set up some forced drama early on when they first started dating, which was, I mean, it's understandable, but I'm glad they did move past that. And
yeah,
it got a lot more believable, and they don't really seem to have that drama anymore. And obviously we see at the end of the season that Alex proposes to Maggie. And so it seems like this relationship is going to keep going into the next season. And I do like the dynamic that they have, and they're very supportive of each other.
Excellent points there. I thought they really found the balance. That's one of the things they did better as the season went on. I think they found a good balance for the Alex Maggie relationship, because in the middle there, it was just focused on their relationship, which it's a new relationship. You get that. But we lost sight of the characters outside of that relationship. And at the end there, we get to see them, you know, one of the highlights of the season was Alex in the water tank, you know, trying to save her life. And that's just a really cool thing. We get to see them doing cool things outside of it. So they definitely had a better balance.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, all of these 23, 22 episode seasons have some fluff, some filler episodes. That's part of the game. And that Alex one where she gets kidnapped is kind of one of those episodes. But if I had to pick one of my favorite filler episodes, I think I'd pick that one for the reasons that you said.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah. So one of the characters that came back from season one for a while, at least, was Jeremiah. And there's a lot of mystery, intrigue around what the heck is going on. He's with Cadmus, and we don't know why he came back. And then he seems maybe to be a bad actor. He's like hacking into DEO stuff. And then they never pick it up again. I don't know if they, I don't know. They kind of switched over all the way to the Daxamite story, all the way to the point where Lillian shows up and she's like, and they ask about Jeremiah and she just says, I don't know. And that's it. Like, that is, yeah. That's all the resolution we get for his storyline.
Yeah, that's one of those things. And like you said, with the long seasons, you've got a lot of flowing storylines that come and go. And I get that. And it's a lot to balance. And it's just not going to be a steady story from episode 1 to episode 22 where this, you know, the A plot just moves straight ahead, full steam ahead, and in a consistent arc. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. But that's one of those things. Yeah, they did it in season 1 too. You know, hey, here's Jeremiah. Oh, he's gone now. And but he's alive, but he's somewhere. We'll just worry about him whenever Dean Cain's schedule is free and we have an episode to write about, I guess. I'd like to see more Dean Cain, but hopefully we get that more of that addressed in season 3.
Yeah, for sure.
In the Cadmus arc as a whole, I'd hope we get to see more of that. Maybe they just decided to move Cadmus as a sort of consistent threat, you know, not a season-long big bad, but something that's always there, and Lily and Luther as a threat at one time, but we'll see. In terms of Cadmus, I thought Lillian was okay at the beginning of the year, but I liked the way they ended the season with her, and she became more of a menacing villain and less over the top. I thought, you know, she was pretty cool in the last few episodes.
Yeah, and especially her relationship with Lena, it got a lot more believable as the season went on, and so yeah, I'm really interested to see that going forward too, especially as Lena and Kara / Supergirl get closer and closer.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. We've talked a long time. We haven't said much about Kara.
Yep.
I don't know. Again, one of the problems with these types of shows is you establish, season one is basically a long origin story of becoming the superhero. So season one is about the development of Supergirl. The problem with that is, where do you go from there? Because she's fully established as Supergirl. She's a great hero. Everybody loves her. What do you do with her character arc to make it interesting? And they, in terms of Supergirl, they had some development, but one of the things was her being a reporter and leaving reporting, but then getting back into it. Obviously, everything with Snapper Carr. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, not really. That's yeah, there's not a whole lot that goes on with Kara. And this is a small nitpick, but and just something that I wish there was, that I really liked about Smallville, that I think lets you focus on a lot of other characters while still keeping some suspense and intrigue with the main character, aka Kara, Supergirl, is pretty much every single person, and they do this on Flash too, every single person that you will see on screen knows the secret identity of the main hero. And I think if there was more of a threat or more people who didn't know who she was, I think Supergirl's better about it than Flash is, but I still wish there were more people that didn't know she was Supergirl.
Yeah, and I like a small handful of people knowing the secret identity, so there's people you can talk to and stuff, and I'm not even necessarily interested in, you know, the whole hiding your secret identity, but I think if everyone knows, that closes the type of stories you can tell.
Right.
You know, and this is something that started with like season 2 of Arrow. When everyone knows the secret identity, you stop telling stories outside of the superheroics and everything around the DEO and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of along those lines, they brought in James to be Guardian, and I think it was, what, 2 episodes that before everybody knew that he was Guardian.
Right. Yeah, and the James storyline as a whole, they abruptly dropped in the James Carr romance in the first episode, like very abruptly. And again, he's one of those things with all the new characters introduced, it didn't seem like they knew exactly what they wanted to do with him. I really liked the visuals of Guardian, and I thought that could be a potentially cool storyline, but it was jumped into really fast. And they didn't seem to have a reason for it other than to give James something to do. And then he just sort of popped up very randomly. I'm guessing he had a reduced contract for this year for number of episodes, is what it seemed like. And so he really had a small role for big chunks of the season.
Yeah.
And I like Macaulay Brooks, and I want to see more of him, but that was kind of a bummer to see.
Yeah, and he is my leading choice of character that they're going to get rid of soon. Not because I want to, but it just seems like that's the direction it's going.
Yeah, they definitely need to. I'm really encouraged for season three. I think they've sort of learned a lot as they went and are going to sort of refocus on what story they want to tell.
Yeah.
So everything ended with the Daxmites. In terms of guest stars, some of the interesting villains for me were like Parasite, the Return of Livewire, because I like recurring villains, and Mr. Mixie Pitlick as a guest star. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, the Mixie Pitlick episode was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one. Just kind of wacky out there. They get to see Parasite's gross. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think we're pretty much in agreement on that one. I liked Metallo too. They brought him back a couple times, and again, but that just goes with the Cadmus storyline, and so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for season three. I think a good season, an enjoyable season. Definitely some ups and downs, but that happens. But I'm talking through this. I'm very excited for season three. Is there anything in particular you're hoping for, or hope they change, or anything like that?
Yeah, I think just right off the bat, like you said, I think it seems like they're getting better about focusing on less storylines, less characters at the same time. And so just getting more focused and having a bigger arcing story throughout the whole season. And I'm hoping that has to do with Cadmus, because again, that's the most interesting storyline from season two to me. And they kind of just dropped it. And I'm hoping they're just punting it to move it over to season three. To make it the big bad for season three. Or I would be okay too, like you said. I haven't thought of it this way, but the way you said, where it's just kind of a persistent threat that is kind of there and sometimes and there not sometimes throughout all of the seasons going forward.
Yeah, and for season three, I'd like to see more of the, in addition to everything we've talked about, I'd like to see a more consistent, a focused effort. And I know that's always tricky, because I'm a fan of sort of multi-episode arcs, like two or three episodes or something like that, or chunks. But I know that's tough when you're doing a weekly show. And so I would like to see that. But if not, at least have some sort of focus. Because I think if you put Truth Serum in the staff of Supergirl, I would say they had no plans to make Rhea the big bad of season two. And I could be wrong. Maybe they had that all planned all along, and they did introduce the Daxmites early, but I think that seemed like something that came kind of out of nowhere because they wanted to change things up and try something else out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm looking forward, and Rain, it appears to be Rain that was introduced at the end of season two, I would assume would be the season three big bad, and that's something I'm excited for too, to see that character depicted on the small screen.
Yeah, me too. That was a really, really good teaser that they put at the end of the finale. Got me pretty excited to see what they're going to do with that in the next season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Well, I guess that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.